Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Pastor Bob conducts personal interviews with Christian influencers from around the globe, helping Christian authors, recording artists, CEOs, entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, and yes, pastors and ministry leaders to get the word out about what they are doing to impact the world with the gospel. Our podcast has been rated in the top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world by ListenNotes.com, so you know your message will be heard. Now, here is your host with today's interview, Pastor Bob Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. As we continue to watch, literally, the world going to hell in a handbasket right now, many people are wondering if this is actually the days leading up to the return of Jesus. If so, how close are we? Well, our guest today has been on several times before as we look at subjects which the Bible tells us to be aware of. But is anybody listening? Dr. Richard Ruling is back today to share with us some things that we need to be aware of that may occur in the very, very near future. About a month or so ago, Dr. Ruling is on where during the course of the interview, we discussed the second Passover mentioned in the Bible. With that time now approaching, I want to get Dr. Ruling to come back on the program and explain this for us again and discuss just how important it is for believers everywhere to recognize the importance of what we're talking about. So help me welcome back to the program, Dr. Richard Ruling. Dr. Ruling, it's great to have you back on the program as we continue to see basically the world spinning out of control right now.
Yes, it is, except for those that are surrendered to our Lord and who have his spirit in them. His kingdom, dominion of a king, is by his spirit in us, but we're looking for an external kingdom like the disciples were when they walked up the hill the last time on Acts 1:6. They said, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They had it in their hearts, but they wanted to see something bigger than that, and I believe we get it. It's our opportunity coming up.
Yep. Amen. I want to start our discussion today with you sharing from Daniel 8 about the ram with two horns.
Okay, good. When Christ was asked about the end of the world in Matthew 24, the disciples were marveling about those stones. But he said, sadly, there would be not one stone upon the other in the end. Of course, that foretold the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. But I believe it has an end time application as well. And they said, what would be the sign of that? When they could hardly believe those big stones would be not one on the other. And he gave signs. And then in verse 15, and by the way, let me say, he said, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached as a witness unto all nations, and then the end will come. But in Bible times, there was no punctuation in the Greek. And the translators put a period there, but I'm going to give you an example of how another time when Christ he said to the thief on the cross, "Verily I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise." The translators do it differently. They put it, "Verily I say unto you, today you'll be with me in paradise." But on Sunday morning, Christ told this Mary Magdalene, "I haven't been to my Father yet." Mm-hmm. So he had not gone to paradise that day on Friday. He was dead in the grave.
Yeah.
And the idea is that the punctuation is critical. And I think, again, in Matthew 24:15, when the gospel of the kingdom will be preached and witnessed unto all the world, and then the end will come when you see the abomination of desolation standing where it ought not, or standing in the holy place. It's the translation different in Mark and Matthew. But the idea is, yes, we saw it. We saw it. And so it's going to come for us, the kingdom. And the idea is that in 2015, there was an abomination standing where it ought not in the Supreme Court, a new definition of marriage, which Leviticus 18, verse 22 says, lying mankind with kind is an abomination.
Yep.
So we saw that, and we also saw the Pope standing in Congress. Well, the Christ statement in Matthew 24:15 was standing in the holy place. The holy place was where they came to where the laws were made. If we can see the similarity, keeping the law in the ark in the temple, or coming to where the laws are made, it's a holy place because it's making everybody do those things.
Right.
And
Amen.
So I'm seeing that, and so the Pope came also in that same year, 2015, and I believe it was a 7-year warning, like Joseph gave to Pharaoh. There's a Ecclesiastes 3:15 in the New English Bible says, "What is has been already, what is to come has been already. God summons each event back in its turn."
Amen.
And a favorite author of mine says, all the great events and solemn transactions of Old Testament history are repeating themselves for the church in the last days.
Yeah.
Well, if that's true, and I believe it is, 24 chapters are based on one text by Joseph telling Pharaoh, there's going to be 7 good years and 7 bad years. Because the last 12 chapters of Genesis are about Israel coming down into Egypt, about, first of all, Joseph going there, being sold by his brothers to get him to Egypt, and then him being in prison for a lie about Potiphar's wife, and then the Pharaoh having a dream and getting out of and becoming the prime minister for the 7 good years to store up grain, and then and his brothers came down, Israel came into Egypt, and then the next 12 chapters are getting Israel out of Egypt in Exodus. So 24 chapters based on 7 bad years.
Yeah,
and I'm seeing that America is repeating that history because pioneers came to this country in a time of famine for the word of God. The papacy had proscribed the Bible. If you own a Bible, you could be burned at the stake. And so they were willing to get in little boats and risk their lives on at high sea, risk starvation for, and risk Indians, death from Indians, all of, threefold death, really,
yeah.
To come to America for freedom of worship. And now we take it for granted, well, our freedoms are being eroded left and right, left and right. And we're going to go back to, this is Egypt leaving. Another exodus is coming. And if you don't want to have the mark of the beast, 666 or something in your arm or controlling you can't buy or sell, I believe we're going to have an opportunity to go to the land of the covenant, the land of promise, where God will supply our needs, and we don't have to worry about buying and selling when they say you can't do it.
Amen. Amen. So relate all that to Daniel chapter 8.
Okay. I'm seeing that the Christ's words in Daniel, I'm sorry, this is Matthew 24:15, when you see the abomination spoken of by the prophet Daniel, let him that reads understand. And that abomination is in Daniel 8th chapter, and it really has two visions. One, a Baptist pastor in 1840s mistook the second vision, the 2300 days years, for the vision at the time of the end. But in verse 17 of Daniel 8, the vision at the time of the end is the ram and goat vision. And it's a ram, militant ram, pushing from the Middle East, north into Russia, south into Africa, west to Europe and the New World, is a Muslim ram. In fact, they celebrate in their second holiest event of the year, not Ramadan is number one. Next one is the ram sacrifice, El Adha. Al-Hadha. It celebrates that Ishmael was sacrificed to spare, I'm sorry, not Ishmael, but a ram was sacrificed to spare Ishmael. They think Ishmael was the son that was spared as their ancestor, you know, to Arab and et cetera, Islam, Muhammad, an ancestor of Muhammad. Well, the Bible says it was Isaac. And the question is, which is the real holy book, the true holy book? And the events happening in the Middle East are proving the Bible is.
Amen.
Because even in that very first event, when a ram was caught in a bush and then sacrificed to spare Isaac, the caught in the bush, it was George Bush that caught the first horn.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
So to me, that is a huge, and then Jacob was name changed was to Israel, from Jacob to Israel. So sparing Isaac is really sparing Israel, his son. And when the event of Saddam and Iraq, the Medes and Persians in Daniel 8:20 are today Iraq and Iran. We've done half of it, and we're going to go against Iran also. And the question is, because we really don't want war with Iran, no weapons of mass destruction were found with Iraq. So what makes the goat angry? I believe it's seen, the Bible gives its answers here and there a little, not everything in one place, because God wants us familiar with his whole word. Throughout history, it's a big, and he's selecting different events from different times, but we have to integrate it and see what fits. And I'm believing that this fits, since last year, Hamas, by the way, that word in Hebrew, in Genesis 6, chapter verse 13, God was sorry for the violence that filled the earth, okay, and God was going to send a flood to finish that violence. But the Hebrew word for violence is spelled Hamas.
Yep.
Hamas. God, yeah, violent group, and they did a violence on October 7 against 1,200 people that were enjoying a music festival. Mm-hmm. You know, God's word is ahead of us, not behind us, and we need to see how it all fits. But since that happened, the war has been escalating to the point now where Iran, also now it's Persia, but Persia is Iran, attacked Israel just a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
And so I believe we're going to see it. And this all ties in with what your question is about, is the second Passover. The idea is that when God judged Egypt for bad stuff, like enslaving Israel and throwing their babies in the river, he took Israel to a covenant at Sinai and said, if you keep my covenant, you'll be to me a kingdom. And he also later said, I'm married to you, return to me, in Jeremiah 3:14. Well, it must have been the covenant that made the marriage, okay? There was
Amen.
No other explanation for how they got married other than a covenant.
Yep.
And God got an ignorant bride
yeah.
at Sinai that worshiped a calf. And God wants to spare his son, who's already been through so much, okay, crucifixion. And he wants an intelligent bride for Christ, not a stupid bride like at Sinai. And so he wants to see a group of people that are going to show up and be waiting for him at the right time. When if God isn't going to do anything without revealing it, we want to, that implies timing as well. You know, we can't just the New Testament says watch, and some people think watch means just in your mind, you're aware. Everybody thinks they're aware. But the word for watch, Gregorio, means be awake. And we can't be awake every night, but one night in the year, hopefully that's the only night in the year at Passover Eve, when Christ asked his disciples, watch with me. Couldn't you not watch 1 hour? I believe that we need to watch maybe till midnight, at least on the West Coast, in my opinion, because I believe they're going to get a huge earthquake, and maybe the whole nation, maybe the new thing that happened in New Jersey, and you felt it down there in Baltimore. It could be also the Mississippi River flowed backwards for a couple days when that happened, and I'm blocking on the spot of New Madrid.
Yeah.
Sorry. At 82, my New Madrid didn't come to me immediately. But anyway, I believe when God shakes the whole world, it says in Isaiah 2, verse 21, it's the day of the Lord in verse 12, but flip 12 to 21, God will shake terribly the earth.
Amen.
And it introduces the time of judgment. And I believe that the whole world, including New York and Mid-America and West Coast, is going to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that God is cluing us to second Passover when he said, no man knows the day or hour, but as the days of Noah, because Noah's flood came in the second spring month in Genesis 7th chapter, verse 4. God says, yet 7 days, and I'm going to bring a flood upon the earth. Come in to the ark, okay? 7 days. And then in verse 11, it says, on the 17th day, the fountains of the deep broke open, the rains, heavens opened, and so on. So subtract 7 from 17, it's the 10th day of the month. And that happens to be, the 10th day of the month is the same day that a sacrifice was selected for Passover in Egypt, in Exodus 12, verse 2 and 3. God said, speaking of the new moon crescent, the Kodesh, three times in verse 2, He says, this is the beginning of the month, the first month of the year, and on the 10th day, you take a lamb and set it apart for sacrifice, which happens on the 14th day between evens. In other words, Friday afternoon, basically. So that's how I'm seeing it. But counted from the 10th day, this year, the 10th day happens to be on May 19, okay? And I believe that that's going to be and God has marked it. I believe God has his own calendar counting from the new moon crescent that we see, but 99% of Christians and people in general go by January, February, March, April, May. Those months are named for Roman gods like Julius Caesar and Augustus Caesar, July and August. And the papacy got rid of those holy days, you know. Well, I think if we're going to restore all things, as Christ said in Matthew 17:11, Elias must come first and restore all things. We can, calendar is one of those things because they have his appointed times to honor. And
why,
so,
why do we have a second Passover instead of just the first Passover?
Good question. Thank you. Love your heart. It's a provision, and I call it a 9/11 provision, by the way, because every American knows 9/11. That's a big deal. Okay. It got us into war. But 9/11 in Numbers 9, verse 10 and 11, provide for that second Passover for two reasons. The easiest one to see and explain is it says, if you're in a far journey, afar off, you keep Passover second month. Well, the idea is if Israelite took a long trip and they couldn't get back in time for from business or whatever in time for Passover, they were excused, but not really fully excused. They had to keep it the second spring month if they were a good Israelite. Otherwise, they were cut off, so to speak. So it was, and so 1 month later, yeah, they can get back if they're a little late. Fine, come back, but sure for second Passover, and the other provision was as in the days of Noah. There was a man named Methuselah whose name meant when he dies, it will come. Okay. Yeah. And he died as a sign the flood was coming in the year that this flood was coming. And Noah buried his grandfather. He was the next of kin. So in a biblical spiritual sense, Noah was mourning his grandfather and he was spiritually unclean for a month. But then the flood came in the second month. And so that if you're in contact with a dead body or, in other words, mourning someone that way, keep it the second month, a month later. And both of those fit, in a sense, Christ, because he was the master that took the long journey to heaven. And I believe that we're living also in a time of contact with dead bodies. COVID has made lots of people. I have a neighbor two doors down from me that buried his brother after the shot. Yeah. So somehow this is all tying in together, although most people don't, not knowing these things, don't see the connections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen. Hey, you know, you talked about the what Jesus said in the parable of the 10 virgins, that you won't know the day or hour, but like you said, the biblical year does not go January to December, it goes spring to spring.
Yes,
The second Passover, like you said, is allowed to be held 1 month later if you're traveling. But there's also on May 19th, the issue of the dark day, correct?
Yes. Thank you for reminding me. You've got as good a handle on this as I do, and you could do it yourself, but it's a little more interesting to hear two people. Anyway, let me, Joel 2 verse 1 and 2 says the day of the Lord is a day of darkness. And let me back up to explain the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is a phrase that most pastors, I think, misunderstand. Many believe it's when he comes in the sky, okay? Well, in Egypt, God told Moses in Exodus 12:12, I will execute judgment. And in verse 42, he says, this is night of the Lord. As day follows night, the time of judgment, I believe, in the end time is Passover. And it's but it will be an end time also of seven-year period for judgment. And so day of the Lord is bigger than night of the Lord, and it's not going to be just Egypt. It's going to be the whole world involved. I believe judgment begins at the house of God, as it says in 1 Peter 4:17. And I believe that this, in a sense, America is supposedly a Christian nation. It started out that way, but it isn't now. with all the things that's happening. But judgment will come to our country at Passover. It will be initiated, but I think second Passover because of these provisions we've discussed. In fact, the last seven parables of Christ, he comes in the sky with power and glory in the middle of Matthew 24 and in the middle of Matthew 25, and in between are seven parables that are all about timing of second Passover. Mm. When he says, after he comes in power and glory in Matthew 24, verse 30, he says, now learn a parable of a fig tree. When its branch is tender and he puts forth leaves, you know, summer is nigh. Summer is not nigh in April.
Right.
Summer is nigh in May. You know, it's starting to warm up a little bit. I hope you feel it in the east. I'm feeling it in Arizona better, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So when summer's nigh is not specific for second Passover, but the next six are. I could show you in each of the next six parables when it says when summer is nigh, you don't know the day or hour, but as the days of Noah. We've already explained that one. And then the next parable begins, then shall two be in the field. Then means the same timing or as a direct consequence when one is taken, the other left. And I think that's about martial law, military coming to our cities after a huge earthquake. And I believe we're going to see a huge earthquake, and it's going to be martial law if we I need to go back and hit this May 11 thing because of the of its timing to second Passover. We said the day of the Lord is a day of darkness. And if you Google dark day, Google has May 19, 1780. Well, my favorite author also shows that as a dark day, unexplainably dark in New England, when cows came in from the field, chickens went to roost, and they needed a lamp in midday to read a newspaper. But they took it as a sign of Christ's coming. But 200 years later, another dark day, also on May 19, when Mount St. Helens erupted the day before and put ash into the sky. And overnight, the wind carried the ash to darken three northwestern states, just like the original dark day was in the northeast of New England. So May 19, both days, to me, is too amazing a coincidence just to be odd and just strange. God had to be in that, I think, and he's marking it, I believe, for this year, because May 19 happens to have the Noah timing of when Noah entered the ark on the 10th day. May 19 is that 10th day, counting from a thin crescent seen on the eve of May 10. And I'm going to be looking for it, and I invite the audience, if you're in a place where you can have a good view of the west, usually the sun sets, and about 20 minutes later, you can see a little thin crescent. You'll be staring at the sky and won't see anything, and then, hey, is there something there? Get the binoculars. Yeah, it is.
Amen.
So that's my experience looking for new moons. And by the way, I have seen things happen in our time, like in 2008, when the U.S. Senate met to approve $760 billion in bailout on the eve of the new moon in 2008. And the Congress voted the funding of $760 billion bailout to bankers who really should have had to pay the price themselves, okay, in my opinion. Taxpayers are bearing the burden for what bankers got money twice for, you know. And so, bad situation. But then the stock market crashed for 10 days after that, just like there were 10 days till the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, they call it. But those the crashing of the stock market for 10 days was significant of physical events that I believe those times were foreshadowing, so to speak, time of judgment.
Amen. Amen.
So,
amen.
Anyway, that's my take on the parables. I could give you just a couple more. Do we have time? How are we doing?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. The next parable after one shall be taken, the other left is. But the goodman, if he'd have known, would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken by the thief. Okay. Well, I like the King James in this case because there's only one reference to goodman in the Old Testament. That word, goodman, okay? It's Proverbs 7, verse 19 and 20. A harlot is talking to some simple guy, and she says, oh, The goodman has gone on a long journey. He's taken a bag of money, and he won't be back till the Yom Kesi, which means full moon, okay? Well, Passover comes on a full moon, but long journey, we just showed earlier from Numbers 9, verse 10 and 11, is means second Passover. So that is a provision about the goodman. If he'd have known, he would have watched, not suffered his house to be broken. And I think if we do not watch, we may have the earthquake breaking our house, you know. In other words, some will, at least maybe God's house appears accountable. And I believe that there'll be a lot of churches with damage, not just Southern California. I like to believe that the Vatican is going to also have it on the ground to the Holy Land. Because in Daniel 11th chapter, verse 40, it tells Daniel 11 is a running conflict through history of king of the north and king of the south. And I'm saying that in the end time, like now, the king of the south, Egypt, is representing America. Because we, like Egypt, have enslaved most people in alcohol, tobacco, drugs. And even medical care is a form of bondage. If you have to go to a doctor every month and get a blood test or a prescription or something, which can kill you, by the way. Amen. And we won't go there right now. But and the shots that they give also are not the greatest, et cetera. I could emphasize that. In fact, let me we got a little time. Let me share with you. Hold on, if I can find it here. I'll read for your. Did I share this before with your group? I'm not sure I did. The Cambridge University reported that 25% of the people that had the COVID shot now have VADES, vaccine acquired immune deficiency.
Oh, wow.
And yes, that's one out of four who have immune deficiency. Well, the Associated Press, who got some of the money from Biden's, you know, Biden gave the media $1 billion to promote the shot. So Associated Press is defending the shot. They jump in and say, oh, that study was flawed. Well, I wondered how the Associated Press knew that. And so I typed into Google two words, immunity and COVID shot. Okay, just those two. And yes, there is association. NIH reports this, and I'm going to, I have the link. In fact, I can give it to you if anybody really needs it, but I'm going to read to you. And this is a quote now. I might skip a few words because it's a little bit long paragraph. But in this paper, we present evidence that vaccination induces profound impairment in type 1 interferon signaling, which has diverse adverse consequences to human health. Immune cells that have taken up the vaccine particles, nanoparticles, nano meaning middle, very small, release into the circulation large numbers of exosomes containing spike protein, along with critical microRNAs to induce a signaling response at distant sites in the body. We also identify potential profound disturbances in regulatory control of protein synthesis and cancer surveillance. Okay. These disturbances potentially have a causal link to neurodegenerative disease, myocarditis, immune thrombocytopenia. Now that means platelet disorders that cause strokes, liver disease, impaired adaptive immunity, and tumorigenesis. Tumorigenesis, that's generating tumors. Hello. Yeah. I heard a Mayo trained pathologist who did a lot of pap smears, and he said that he sees many times more positive pap smears now than before the COVID pandemic came along. Why? Because people are getting the shots. You know.
Amen.
So basically, the reporting system is broke. They said they used the VAERS database. Well, it's voluntary. You don't have to report. Who knows where to go and find it and all that. It's worse than all I'm telling you about, you know, because I worked as a physician for about 40 years, and I had some events that I could have reported but didn't, you know. There's no compunction to do that. Bless those that report it, but the media are not reporting it. What's the use, you know, at this point? Because they like their money from Biden, and I'm saying instead of a election in November, they ought to have a hanging or a trial first, maybe, you know, because he mandated a bad shot.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all at time. Today's portion of this great interview with Dr. Richard Ruley. He's been sharing with us some insights from his wisdom and his knowledge of the Jewish festivals and all how they all relate to the Bible and all these things. Now, what we need to know is May 19th is coming very, very quickly. And whether or not the Lord allows these things to happen right now or by His grace and mercy they get extended, the thing is, it is going to happen. Something is going to happen. We are at the precipice right now. So you need to pay attention to this stuff. Now, that's only part one. We've only made it halfway through this interview with Dr. Richard Ruley. So you need to come back for the very next episode to get the conclusion of that. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified when another episode is published. With over 800 interviews and 1,000 published episodes, Pastor Bob is known as a podcasting expert for helping others to create their own podcast to share their messages with the world. Please visit our website at www.podcastersforchrist.com. That web address again is www.podcastersforchrist.com for more information. Until next time, be blessed in all that you do.